Welcome to The Wayfarer's Guide to World Building, a podcast by Mythos and Ink Publishing, where we build worlds one story at a time. I'm Kyle.
I'm Emma.
I'm Allison.
Today we are talking about both the new Netflix show and world building we found within it, Shadow and Bone, based on the beloved novels by Leigh Bardugo. Special thanks to our patron, Alex M., for making this episode possible. If you'd like to support the podcast, visit us at patreon.com/mythosandink. For the structure of today's episode, and of course all these episodes, we each have a world-building topic that we're bringing to the table to discuss and then share ways to employ those same strategies into our own world-building efforts, because that's kind of what we do with the Wayfarer's Guide to World-Building. So we wanted to say welcome to all of you that have joined us.
So our next topic is fashion in the Shadow and Bone world. There's actually not as much to discuss in the show as I thought that there might be, but I did mention that it was something I was excited for when we had our kind of book pre-show discussion. So I just wanted to bring us back to that and kind of talk about it a little bit. I was super excited and I loved the costuming and the fashion in Shadow and Bone because I do think that it was used really well in the world building and visually, fashion is something really cool that you can use in shows and in visual media a lot easier than in books. Because in books, you have to go into a whole description of what the garment looked like and you have to take pages or paragraphs to describe it. Whereas in the show, it's just there, right? It's just there and you just see it. It's like the kefta, for example, were really cool. And it was interesting that in the show, I don't think we even really got an explanation of them as much as we did in the book. Because in the book, you have the color of the kefta means one thing, but then the embroidery on the sleeves means another thing. It sort of subspecializes all of the Grisha, where in the book that was explained, I don't think it was explained in the show. Correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I just missed it.
No, I don't believe
it was there. Like I was looking for it, and I definitely saw that the characters had different color embroidery. So it's interesting that a watcher could have picked up on that if they were paying really close attention, but we never were told it. It just gives you sort of this depth and richness to the world without having to explicitly explain everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good use of fashion in particularly visual mediums, is to tell us about the world without having to tell us. So like, for example, even Kaz's character, we can probably tell from looking at him that he is, if he's not super well off, he's at least had money at some point. He dresses really nicely. He looks very sharp. You know, all of the Six of Crows characters kind of dress that way. So we learn something about them just by seeing them. And I think that was really well done with all of the characters and all of the costumes in the show. So I was very excited to sort of see that on screen. And the Kefta were just gorgeous. They were so nice.
They were. I liked that they were very functional. Mm. Like often you'll see armor when they like translate it to TV, you'll see things that are like armor that where you're like, I imagine wearing it. And I'm like, that must be so uncomfortable. Or like, it's so form fitting for a big piece of metal. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you see it and you're like, that doesn't seem super functional. And these ones are like, yeah, that seems very functional. They're bulletproof. They cover a large part of the body. You're in a cold area. They're going to keep you warm. Like there's so many things about them that makes sense. They're just like practical. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. They looked kind of military uniform-ish, but still had that sort of fantasy or just like magical element to them. So it didn't feel exactly like you're looking at a military uniform, which is always nice in kind of world building aspects.
I have a question about the fashion that I'll direct to the two of you, because this might be something that I, being a guy, I may not have noticed. I didn't feel, at least in my first impression, is that it didn't feel overly sexualized in terms of the fashion when it was unnecessary for it. So like, you know, there wasn't like, oh, every Grisha's costume and Kefta had like massive cleavage and things like this. Would that be an accurate statement of what I saw? All
Definitely.
The costumes seemed fitting for the type of character and not sexualized for the sake of being sexualized.
I'll agree with that. I think for the large part, it was good. And when it was a little sexualized, it made sense, like the blanking on her name, but the lady who owns the menagerie, her having like a form-fitting gown with a little bit of cleavage, it makes sense. It builds the character.
Yeah, it makes sense to the character. Yeah.
Like it gives you an idea.
She's the madame of a brothel. Yeah. Like it kind of see exactly. what's going
like,
on there.
If they were like, this is the madame of the brothel, and she was like in a parka kind of thing, I would be like,
Oh, those fro unions or whatever they're called.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it was nice too that the uniforms were, like you said, they weren't like distinguished by gender even. So like the kefta for the men and the kefta for the women,
or at least
the male presenting and female presenting characters were the same, right? It wasn't like an original Star Trek thing where the men were in one uniform and then the women had tiny short skirts wandering around. Like it was the same, which I do appreciate because that does sometimes happen, especially in shows where it is more visual and, you know, there's that whole quote unquote sex sells and we want to show off our hot female characters. So let's put them in a mini skirt, which didn't happen, which was very nice because that would have been very disappointing. So,
well, and one thing to note is when you get into the world of the Grisha is that you have the First Army and the Second Army, and they were very distinguishable, right? You have the First Army or the Grisha, they all have different colors, they have different embroidery, they have different, like, and it's all very ornate and very specific. The Second Army, you are one costume. Like, it is generic green across the board, and you're indistinguishable. And I think that says something about the characters as well, right? Like, you are meant to be just a number, and the rest of you are the special chosen ones. And there's, and then there's animosity between those two. Oh, it's just First Army nonsense and stuff like that when they want to look for the stag and things like that. And I think the fashion can say those types of things about this class of characters as well.
It is immediately visually apparent who is considered above.
Right. Yeah, which is really, really helpful too for kind of casual viewers, or if you get confused as to, like, you're not following the storyline 100% or there's a lot of characters, but it's a nice thing to be able to clue into, like, oh, okay, I know something about that character just because of the way they're dressed. So I have something I can hook onto and anchor me in this scene.
Yeah.
Well, and also we talk about the, I never get their names right. The Northerners, the Nords. The Nordic
there
folk. But I mean, they're very conservative, and of course Matthias comments on her on Nina's free-spirited nature in terms of her clothing, and he struggles with that, and he talks about that. I mean, there's conservative women and stuff, and that also in some ways makes sense because of the climate that they're in.
Yeah.
So when it's a very, very cold climate, you have to wear a lot of layers or you freeze to death. Like, that is a big, important thing. And so the climate also can impact your culture of, like, well, if you take things off, then that's just stupid because you could die if you're exposing yourself. And so that then becomes unattractive, and you could see how a conservative modesty principle might derive in a colder climate as a result. And I think they play off of that a bit.
So this actually brings up my one pet peeve with the costumes. In the scene when they're walking in the snow and they have, like, frostbite on their faces, coming from the thriving and tropical oasis of Winnipeg and walking in minus 40 all the time, I was like, cover your face, put a scarf over your face, what are you doing? Like, I was so frustrated the entire time. I'm like, how could you have frostbites on your cheeks? Like, go put on a scarf, find something. That was the one moment where I was like, but I think most people who haven't felt minus 40 probably wouldn't be as picky about it. They'd be like, oh, they have big jackets on and they look cold. That makes sense. But we're over here like, wind chill. It's called wind chill.
You don't know cold.
And then one last thing on fashion that I would just touch on is also that it can be used for character. So for Alina specifically, we see fashion or the costume that she wears as a character moment, because she goes from requesting a blue kefta and wanting to be the same as the other summoners. That's the one, it's in her name. She wants to be just like the other summoners and just wear blue, to the moment where she puts on the black kefta and now she's different and she's assuming this power and she's taking this different role, which is also, and man, that black kefta with the gold embroidery is so gorgeous. Oh my goodness.
So gorgeous.
So, but also very character-wise, it's very, very interesting costume switch as well.
Well, and that goes back to when we talked to the book episode, and I saw that brief scene where she had a different kefta that was black and gold versus the blue and black. And was like, is this another dress thing? And so I felt so vindicated to know it wasn't. And that I did notice something.
I remember that during the when you were talking about the trailer. And I was like, oh, just wait, Kyle, you'll see.
So what are some of the things that we can take with fashion as it pertains to our writing and world building? What are some of the things we should consider and maybe tips we can take to our worlds?
I would just give the tip of, I mean, we talked about it, but I'll just explicitly give the tip of don't overly gender your clothing if it's not necessary. Gender and gender presentation is a very natural thing for humans to do. We see it in cultures all across the world. It's not even like a distinctly Western thing. Like in many, many places, there's different clothing for men and women. However, if you're in a situation where that doesn't make sense, where the men and women are performing the same roles, where it would make more sense for them to have the same clothing, do it. Don't, you know, don't gender clothing if it's unnecessary. And I would say it's kind of refreshing to not have super gendered clothing, speaking as someone who identifies as a woman. So even if it's not entirely necessary that they have to be the same, sometimes it's nice to throw that in. So I would encourage more people to do that when you're considering the clothing of your world and your characters, is just make it a little more gender neutral. It's nice.
I agree with that one very much. I would also add on to that, as when it comes to specifically military things, I see a lot of kind of fantasy worlds where in military settings, there are kind of distinct gender clothing. And I'm like, that's just not how any military ever works.
Yeah. Like, don't put a boob window like, in your military uniform. Like, nobody is like cutting out a triangle.
Yeah,
from
exactly.
Like, no, come on.
And for the most part, when you're in the military and you're issued uniforms, they're the same.
Yeah.
Like, they might be cut different, but when you're wearing them, they look pretty much the exact same. That's a particular pet peeve of mine that kind of takes me out of the moment when it's like you're watching a fantasy thing and like the women in the military have a very different uniform than the men in the military. And I'm like, that's not really how it works, but okay.
Yeah, definitely agree.
One thing I was thinking was the difference between the book and the movie. So the book and the show. In the show, we're able to really grasp the visual nature of some of the fashion, right? We get the kefta, we get to see the ornate embroidery. It doesn't have to be described for pages, but we get it in that moment. But on the book side, there were things that we didn't catch because we couldn't really see it in the show. And we hinted at it. And that's some of the cultural representation. There is nuance that you can notice and even some historical cultural context that you can ascribe to certain clothing in your writing that makes your world larger that you can't necessarily do for a screenplay. Mm. And so don't be afraid to allow that to happen. What does your clothing say about the culture? What does it say? How did it develop? Why is it this way and not that way? And does that matter to the scene? And could it expand your world a little more?
Yeah, absolutely. I just to throw in another thing to play off of that is it can be tempting, and it can sometimes be useful to just describe clothing for the sake of describing clothing, describing what a character is wearing, just because it's fun to describe and this is a cool fantasy world. But I would also encourage you that specifically if you're working in a written medium, if you are describing the clothing, make there be a point to it. Like if you're describing that someone is wearing rich clothing and furs and that sort of thing, it's because you're telling us something about the character. Make it so that there's something about certain colors. Like if a character's wearing red, it means they're in this job or this place, right? Like have there be a purpose to the clothing you show your characters wearing. And if there is no purpose to what they're wearing, then maybe don't spend a lot of time talking about their clothes because it's not really that important to the story.
That would link to a pet peeve of mine when people are describing, whether it be clothing or people, is that as a third person narrator, don't give me subjective terms. Mm. So don't say like, oh, her dress was beautiful. No, don't. That's a cop out. Describe. Tell me what the dress looks like. But if you're talking like, you know, Mal thought Alina's dress was beautiful. Yeah. Well, that's different because that's telling me something about Mal. But you can't just describe something as beautiful because that is different for me than it is for Christiana. It is for Emma. It is for everybody else as it should be. So let me decide
if it's beautiful or not. Yeah.
If it's beautiful or not.
And also like keep it to what your character would notice. Like if your character is very straightforward, doesn't care about fashion, is very focused on their mission, they're not going to be focusing on the character's dress for a page and a half and describing every intricate detail. They might say, oh, she was wearing a black dress and then move on. If your character is really into fashion and knows a lot about materials and is oohing and aahing, then it makes more sense. But you've got to tailor your descriptions to what that character would actually be thinking about if it's from like a first person or third person limited point of view.
And I think
love it.
Describing it too much gives me that fan fiction feeling. You know what I mean? Like if you're reading a fan fiction, I'm thinking of like the famous one, where she's like, I have dark, like long black hair with like purple streaks and red tips. And I was wearing black jeans and my favorite My Chemical Romance t-shirt and my worn down Chuck Taylors. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of gets to a point where you're like, okay, this is getting kind of weird. And I don't think this is about the character or me anymore. I think this is a self-insert kind of thing.
I love that. Like, it's just the fan fiction. Like, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know which one I'm talking about though, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh man, My Chemical Romance. Wonderful. I think these are wonderful tips when it comes to fashion. Be sure to consider those when you are building your world moving forward.
If you're looking for a fantasy or sci-fi writing community, we'd be happy to have you join ours on Discord. Head to our website, mythosinc.com, and click on Community under the About section. If you have any questions, comments, or just want to say hi, email us at podcast@mythosinc.com. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, fellow wayfarers, go! Build worlds. Bye.
Bye.